This word is just so powerful. And I believe that God's trying to get us to come to a complete You hear me now? God's trying to get us to come to a complete understanding that He is God, and He's not going to play seconds to no one. He's going to be God continually, and if we allow Him to, He'll be God in our lives. And if you go back to three portions before this one, they all tie in together. It's all about who God is. And I'm going to share something that the Lord showed me. I was on my way to town a couple weeks ago, and then I'm going to go in and share what the Lord gave me out of this portion, actually out of the last three altogether. It's just so amazing. It's so powerful. You know, when God created us, He created us with an amazing mind. The mind's amazing. It's powerful. And it's just, when you think about the mind of people, like the mind God created us with, how amazing it is, the things that we could do. And I was on my way to town, and I got to the refinery, and I got a habit of, when I'm driving, it don't matter where I'm at, I look on the sides of the road more than I look at the road. But I noticed them raising up that storage tank. Some of you probably passed there and seen it. And when, as I was passing, the Lord said, you know, I gave man great abilities. And it all comes from the mind that I created him with. And the mind's an amazing thing. It's a powerful thing. But it is as amazing as it is, and great things that we could do through the power of our mind, that could be destructive. And I said, okay, Lord, where are you going with this? He said, you know, we could raise up storage tanks that holds millions of gallons. And if you look at it, they raised up the whole thing level. You can take a house that's built on a flat foundation and raise it 15, 20 foot in the air and put stilts underneath it and hold it there. And as I was preparing, the Lord brought me back to a boat builder. You know, a boat builder don't just go and buy a bunch of wood and just start cutting it and putting it together, but he thinks out what he's going to do. To raise that tank, somebody had to think out, how are we going to do this and raise it in a way that it's not going to destroy it. Had they not raised it up straight, it can collapse. And, you know, you could take a skyscraper and set explosives in it and blow it up and not hurt the building next to it, because somebody in their mind thought how to do it. But you take a boat builder, he gets his first piece of wood, and before he makes the first cut, he thinks about the design of that boat he's going to build. And he starts with the bow. He starts with the very point of the boat to get his design to get to the back. But he thinks it out, and he figures out what model he wants. The mind's an amazing thing. And when you get the finished product, you can't help but come to a realization that only God can design us and put that type of a mind in us. But it's amazing how we could do all these great, awesome things through the power of our mind because God gave it to us. But something can be said. Something can be done to us. And we get to thinking about it, and it upsets us so bad, and we get so mad that we start taking it out on God. See, the mind's powerful. It's amazing. And I was brought back several times this week. But before I go on, I'm gonna share with you real quick. I want you to think about this while I'm talking. I was out on a boat a couple weeks ago, and I'm running traps. In one of those all of a sudden moments happened. And by the Spirit, I heard this. He said, "I'm not baby Jesus anymore, but I'm seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you." And it kind of makes you take a break to realize that I can celebrate Jesus every day of my life. When you get up in the morning and you take a breath and your lungs work, it gives you a reason to celebrate Jesus. When you get up in the morning and your heart's still pumping and blood's flowing through your body and you have life. But he said, just as plain as I'm talking to you, he said, "I'm not baby Jesus anymore, but I'm at the right hand of the Father making intercession." But to get back to the mind, you know, and I've been thinking about this every day since it happened, how awesome our God is, how much he cares for us. I was reminded several times throughout this week. Back about a year before Faith Temple Ministries was started, I worked down at the dock, which is now Sharco's dock. But I was at work one day and I had a pastor show up. And he came on a dock and he says, "Hey, can I talk to you for a minute?" I said, "Sure." So I went out to his car and he's mumbling on. And I said he was mumbling on because that's what he was doing. Now he gets to talking about all the evil spirits he's feeling and how the devil's all over. How even he was so thrown off, he even made a statement. He said, "Even that dog's demon possessed." So I just, you know, being a person I am, I said, "Listen, say what you got to say and do what you got to do, because I don't have time for this." And he said, "Well, I come to let you know we don't need you no more." Okay. And I was helping in the youth ministry at the church I was going to at the time. And he said, "We don't need you as help with the youth. In fact, we don't even care if you come to church anymore." So I just got out the car and I said, "Look, I done had enough. I'm not going to put up with it. I'm not going to listen to you." And I went back to work. But I got mad. It upset me. And in being mad, I began to think about it. I let my mind, the amazing wonderful, powerful thing that God created me with, I let it overtake in my thoughts, in what I thought, who God really was. And the next day I went to work and he came back. I'm like, here we go. So he came back and he said, I want to talk to you. I said, well, hurry up and talk because I don't have time for you. And I'm not going to put up with what I put up with yesterday. So just say what you got to say and it'll be of your best interest just to leave, because I was mad. So he came back and he says, we still don't want you to come back. We still don't need you, but I apologize for what I've done. I said, look, okay, whatever. Just go on and go. But with all of that being said, it upset me in such a way that I got mad at God. And God never done me nothing. But even today, in this time, I'm talking over 20 years ago this happened. But even now, there's people that things were said, something was done, and they got mad, and they taking it out on God. That same incredible mind that he gave us, we use it, we start dwelling on things that happen, and we, instead of getting over it, going to God and say, can you help me in all of this? I need you to give me strength to overcome all of this. We get mad at God, we take it out on him, and we even quit church. But with all the incredible things that we can do. See, that's why in Romans chapter 12, it says our mind has to be renewed daily. Every day. It took about a year. Imagine 1 year of my life. I lived in misery. I lived in fear. I lived in discomfort. How many of you remember a few weeks ago when Pastor done a Torah and he talked about Jacob? We're going to fear, and he said this, we're going to fear or we're going to have faith. Fear is going to bring us back to what we can do. Faith is going to cause us to trust God. We're going to do one of the two things. We're going to fear or trust God. We're going to have faith. We're going to do what we think and get farther away from God, or we're going to have faith and trust him and get closer to him. You know why Jacob was blessed? Because he endured. Because the same mind that he was created with, he had to blot out the pain from his hip being out of socket. Listen, I've never had my hip out of socket. I've never had no part of my body out of socket. But I've been around people on medical calls that had hip injuries, and you can get to them, and they don't have to open them out. You can tell they're in pain. But what Jacob done, he wanted God so bad. He wanted to know, he wanted to be blessed so bad, in his mind, he blocked out the pain and he held on. He held on and he wouldn't let go till God blessed him. But in the end, it was worth the suffering. Listen, there's some things we're going to go through. There's some times that we're going to suffer. But we need to come to a complete realization that God is God. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and he's making intercession for you and I. And that tells me we can make it. It don't matter what our last name might be. It don't matter what we go through. It don't matter if the why question is never answered. It don't change who God is. You think about Joseph. He had two choices. Look, I got mad at somebody that wasn't even related to me. That kind of done me what Joseph's brothers done him, but he didn't get mad. Why he didn't get mad? He knew who his God was. Listen, you know why he didn't sleep? with the king's wife. It wasn't because he didn't want to sin against the king. It's because he didn't want to sin against God. It's because he knew who his God was. Many times, in many ways, the enemy came against him. You know, in the society that we live in, we'd all agree that he had plenty of reasons to get mad. He had more than one time he had reasons to get mad, to get upset. But what he done, he trusted God. And even though he was lied upon, you think for a moment that when he left the coat in a king's wife's hands, you don't think for a moment that was the first time she thought about it. But what happened? She seen him one day, and she got her mind stayed on him. She started thinking about it, and she wouldn't let it go. She continued to think about it. She continued to allow her mind to take her there. Until one day she said, "Come in, come lie with me." And he said, "I can't. I won't." Wasn't that he couldn't, he wouldn't. And then he left. And when he went back, she grabbed him. She blamed her husband for her sin. "It's the Hebrew you brought in. It's not my fault you brought him in. Listen to me. It wasn't my pastor's fault. It's not my wife's fault. It's not my kids' fault. It's not nobody that comes to church's fault. If I allow my mind to take me somewhere where it shouldn't be and I sin against God, it's my fault." And you could try to blame whoever you want. You could play the blame game all you want. But when we stand before God, we'll not be able to say, "Well, it's because of that man you allowed to come in." But how real is our God to us? How close do we want to be to Him? It all starts right here. There'll be times that thoughts will come in. And if it's a thought about getting closer to God, we need to grab a hold of it. But if it's a thought that's going to pull us away from God, we need to rebuke it and get it away from us. You know, when Joseph was thrown in prison, he wasn't in the regular prison. He was way down. There was many doors that got locked before he got to where they brought him. It wasn't where it was all cleaned up. And you know, you could go to prisons today, and there's janitors, there's people that cleans them, there's people that takes care of them. But Joseph was in an inner prison. He was where it was filth. He was where it was dirty. But it didn't take long that he was in charge. Because in every state he was in, he never forgot who God was. Every situation he had to go through, he never forgot who God is. See, it's easy. And I made this statement before. You know, you're going through the valley, and then you get to the mountaintop. You know, it's so joyful. It's so amazing. It's so precious. But what happens is, in a time of amazement, in a time of all the joyfulness, in a time of all the happiness, we forget That on the other side of that mountaintop's another valley. So when we up here and we got it all going on, we got to renew our mind and get enough of God's power, because there's another valley coming. That when we're in the valley, we still got the same power of God that we had on a mountaintop. That's going to get us to the next mountaintop. But what we do, we get down in the valley and we stumble. Yep, it was Brother Chad's fault. And people gets that instilled in their mind. It's somebody else's fault. And ain't nothing nobody can do. God can't even change their mind. They so stubborn. Listen to me. There's some people that you and I are related to that should have been here tonight, that should have heard what's being said tonight. And I'm going to tell you what, when I walked in this church and I sat down, God said, speak what I told you to speak. It don't matter that they're not here. But see, they're going to do like me and Pastor was talking right before service. There's people that's going to call and say, what happened? What went on? You know, when God's given us a word, it's so much easier to receive it by hearing it for ourselves instead of somebody else telling us. But the mind is a powerful thing. And Joseph, every day, had his mind renewed. You see, when he came out of prison, and they put him back in the palace, put him back where God wanted him. You know, imagine being 17 years old and you're sold by your brothers. You know, I would say it's a pretty good reason to get mad. It's a pretty good reason to get upset. But he just continued to serve God. He continued to understand daily who God is. But they all got mad because of God. Because what God said. And see, God don't change his mind. The whole family could be upset. God ain't changing his mind. God called us in the middle of our call, and he don't say, well, I don't call you no more. It's a choice we make. You know, you don't get called to preach. The Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. You don't get chosen by God, and in the middle of him choosing you, in the middle of you doing what you wanted, what God wants you to do, he changes his mind. But he called us for a reason. He called us for a purpose. Now, I made this statement the other day. Somebody was asking about things that we've been doing and going places. Listen, my wife could tell you, just being here, speaking every now and then is easy. But when you got to go where God said. You know, we've been in some situations while we've been gone that it's been tough. That you had to have the word of God. Because no matter what I think, no matter how soft we want to try to say it, no matter how nice we want to try to be, God's word will not change. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. If God said don't go there, don't go there. But on the other hand, we take those statements that I just said. If God said don't go there, don't go there. And sometimes we're using that as an excuse not to hang out with certain people. Listen, I know when Pastor mentioned a few services ago about comments We heard it all the time. You know, you pastor in a church, you're preaching God's word, and you're a fishing guide. Well, not everybody that hires you to take them fishing is saved. They cuss. They drink. Some of them just downright nasty. But you got to be who God said be. I can't tell you the times. Pastor can't tell you the times that we walk down the dock and you're almost to your vehicle and you hear somebody saying, "Wait, wait, wait, wait." And they get to the side of your vehicle and tears is flowing. And they want to know about the Jesus that you serve. They want to know about the God that you serve. Because something that was said on that boat, something that was done on that boat got their attention. Listen to me. Not everybody you hang out with might be saved. And if they're not saved, there should be something that you and I do while we're hanging out with them that they see Jesus in us. That they see God's spirit in us. That they see God's anointing in us. I can't tell you the times that church people, "I can't believe you doing that." Look, I had a pastor call me. He said, "I got a group coming in and I want you to take us fishing." So we get on a boat and we take off, and he looks out and he says, "Will you pray?" I mean, I'm going down a pass. He says, "Will you pray?" I said, "Absolutely." So I prayed. He said, "I can't believe you prayed with your eyes open." So what do you mean? He said, "You prayed, but you never closed your eyes." I said, "Well, if it makes you feel bad, I'm going to get this boat to do about 30 or 40 miles an hour. Then we're going to pray again and I'm going to close my eyes." I said, "You think because I didn't close my eyes, God didn't hear me?" I said, "My prayer was just as effectual if I'd have knelt down." I said, "Sometimes when you pray, you got to use common sense. The boat's moving. Somebody got to watch where we're going." So we get out there and start fishing. His whole church group opens up the ice chest and gets them a Budweiser out. "Man, maybe we need to pray again. Because something wrong with this picture. Y'all done forgot who God is." Of course, that group ain't never called me to take them no more. But look, you know, it's things like that that people think. You got to close your eyes for God to hear you. But it's, you know, when we get our mind renewed, we understand. If I'm driving 60 miles an hour down the interstate, and I get a phone call and somebody needs prayer, I don't quit driving. You know, they'll call and say, "Hey, I got this, and this wrong with me. I need you to pray for me." Well, I don't wait till I get to where I'm going. I said, "Okay, we're going to pray, and we're going to pray right now." You know, not many times I'm driving down the interstate, and I had a phone call. Said, "Hey, we got a situation going on, and I need you to pray for this person and this person." I said, "Well, when are you going to be with them next?" He said, "In about 15 minutes. I said, "When you get there, call me back and we're going to put it on speakerphone because I have something to tell them, and then we're going to pray." See, you don't have to be in this setting to do ministry. If this is the only place we do ministry, we need to get our mind renewed. But we need to do ministry just as much, if not more, when we're outside of this building. You say, "Well, what do you mean?" If you're in the middle of Walmart, and it's the biggest sale going on, and I walk up to you and I tell you, "I'm going through this and I need prayer, you need to grab me by the hand and pray with me right then." Oh, can you do that? Absolutely. Because you know what happens if you come to me and say, I need you to pray for me, and I say, okay, I'll do it later. Most of the time, later never comes. But if we do it right then, if we do it right now, you say, but they're going to see me. How many people in here ever sinned? I did. Me and Pastor's the only two. Look, you know what? When I was a sinner, people seen me. But I kept sinning. Didn't matter. But now that I'm serving God, they need to see me. When I done drugs, if I wanted to do drugs, it didn't matter who was around. You just got them and you done them. But then we get saved. And we get asked to pray. There was a guy in a service one time. He never shut up. From the time people walked in. In fact, the pastor had to ask him to be quiet to start the service. Because he never shut up. And the pastor asked him to pray. My throat, he said. All of a sudden, he couldn't talk. And that happened in church. He might have fell on the ground if somebody would ask him to pray outside. You see, whether we're in here, whether in a grocery store, or walking down the street, God is God. And He'll always be God, and He will not change for nobody. And I made this statement not long ago. I was in a church, and I got ready to speak, and I made this statement. I said, let's just get one thing straight before we go into God's Word. I said, God don't need you. God don't need me. He don't need none of us. But He chose us. God didn't. He created us to serve Him. He chose us in creation to be the people He wanted us to be. But what happened? Because of one lie. It overtook the mind and sin entered the world. But when that one lie was told, God already knew how He was going to fix it. How amazing that is. Already knew there would be a Savior. There would be bloodshed. And our Savior is not baby Jesus anymore. He's at the right hand of the Father. And He's making intercession for you and I every day. You know, I thank God for those moments that nobody's around. And all of a sudden, He shows up. Because it's times like that. It's times like that. You know what happened for that 1 year? I can't tell you the nights. I can't tell you the times that nobody was there. My wife wasn't even home. That all of a sudden the Spirit of God would show up. And I'd hear this. My gifts and callings are without repentance. Until one day, the Spirit of the Lord showed up. He said, son, it's time for you to make up your mind. You've been upset and you've been mad long enough. I never done you nothing, but I'm giving you a chance right now to get it right. And thank God for that grace, for that time that He reached out His hand of mercy one more time. See, the Bible says God's Spirit is not always going to strive with man. Do you know why Joseph was able to overcome everything he went through? Because he allowed God's Spirit to be there in every situation. In every time that people came against him. You know, when your family comes against you, and look, there's people here that's doing what God called them to do, that some families are upset. Some families just don't seem to understand. But God's word is God's word, and ain't nothing I can do or you can do to change it. And I thank God that he created us with an awesome ability to choose to serve him. We need to choose this day who we're going to serve. And Joshua said, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. See, it's a choice. It's just a simple choice. When I was sinning, it was a choice I made. I chose to sin. But now I choose to live for the Lord. Choose to live for God. And it's so amazing knowing that no matter what I go through, no matter what comes against me, he's always there. You got something? All right. This is so hard with all of this, the way it all ties in together from week to week, to just stay on one Torah. You know, I told Brother Josh the other night at my house, I said, I don't know if we're going to be able to talk about this without going back to Genesis. Because we try to stay in a Brit Hadishah on Thursdays, but it all ties in so close together, it's kind of hard to not talk about the Torah. But I thank God for his word. I thank him that he's a God that changes not. He's always the same. You know, we could try all we want to. We'll never be able to do anything to change who God is. And when we come to that realization completely, then we'll just need to learn how to flow with what God's Spirit says, what his word says. You know, he made it so easy. I talked about the boat builder. You know, when you're building something, you got to think it out. When those guys raise homes, they got to think it out. But see, God laid it out. All we got to do is go in this word and just follow what it says. You follow the word of God, and it won't steer us wrong. Sometimes it might be a path we're not sure we want to travel. But if we stick it out and go with him, in the end, we'll overcome. Let's all stand.